He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on air and talk about how right I am once again in anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guests.
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, Matt. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last 5-6 weeks. But super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right. Behind the Bench here at 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader here on this Tuesday, January 13th for you here. Happy Tuesday to you all. Good to be here. Phil Bonatti alongside some great folks here. We'll introduce them in. Jorge here, Daniel here as well. On a wonderful Tuesday afternoon, we'll get to our show momentarily. But big thanks to Tony D for tossing it to us in the previous hour. Tony D Show always. Sportsline Bulldog Hour with Tony D from 2 to 3 p.m. on the weekdays. You listen to him live and on demand on the 1430 ESPN Fresno app, 1430ESPNFresno.com website as well. We also stream live on the Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. My show, which you can check out right now, we're streaming live up and for. You also got Paul Matter Show, the Central Valley Sports Report, live from 10 a.m. to noon on Saturdays every weekend for you as well. We are... live, like I said, Lee's Air Hotline, sponsored by Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Phone number is 559-320-1430. The way to get a hold of our show, 559-320-1430. The way to get a hold of our show, taking a look at the Lee's Air Weather Check. 61 degrees, sunny, feels like 66 out there, just feels wonderful. 60s looks like for pretty much the entirety of the week here. So pleasant weather, to say the least. Good to be here. Good to be rolling on this Tuesday afternoon. We got a lot to get to here in the next 2 hours. What do we got on the docket for you here? Well, I'll tell you what. I got a very interesting couple of segments to get you here as well. Of course, we're going to react to last night's action, including the final game of the wild card round with the Steelers and the Texans wrapping up last night. We will do a Bonatti Blitz that I think will be very fascinating to go through here. There are 16 potential Super Bowl matchups left on the docket. And yes, we're going to rip through all of them, all of the potential Super Bowl matchups. I'm ranking them. We're going to hit them quickly in this hour. And rank them all there throughout. It's going to be very interesting to dissect it all. Coming up in the second hour of our show, Gabe Camarillo will join us via the phone line. Some big news in the city of Fresno today. Soccer being announced as potentially making its return to the city in at least the goal of 2028 with potential for a new stadium downtown. That was announced at a press conference with Jerry Dyer, Mr. Mayor. So we'll talk about that, and I'm sure people are fired up about that. And we'll get into that with Gabe, who's there. And, of course, I want to talk some Fresno State with Gabe as well, so we'll get into all that conversation with him on the phone line. Yeah, Fresno State basketball in action tonight. We'll dive into that. Lakers in free fall. We'll dive into that. And preview tonight's matchup on our airwaves, High School Hoops, Hoover and Justin Garza coming up. 6:30 tip-off, 6:15 pregame with yours truly and Paul Metters on the call. Like I said, Jorge's here. Daniel's here for a Tuesday edition of our show. 2 hours, like we said, going up till 5 o'clock. Guys, how are we doing on this Tuesday? How are we feeling?
Hey, good afternoon. How are we doing?
We didn't even text each other, Jorge. We got the same polo on today. We knew what was up.
Tuesdays we wear red.
Tuesday, right? We wear red. Is that how it goes?
That's what it goes.
Well, I typically wear the polo on the days we call games. Just to,
yeah,
yeah. So glad we're on the same page. How are you doing though?
I'm doing good. Doing good. Pretty good day today. So far, so good. So hopefully there'll be a good game tonight that you're gonna call with Paul.
We've been having some good ones.
Right?
We've been hitting on some competitive games, and tonight should be supremely competitive in the CMAC. Daniel, how are you feeling today? I think I know the answer to that question, but give it to me.
I'm mourning.
Yeah.
You know, I lost my playoff game yesterday, and I lost my head coach.
You lost your head coach, and you lost your quarterback potentially too. Yeah.
I mean, I'm a little upset that Tomlin's gone, just because he's been the coach the entire time I've been alive. But
that is very strange to think about.
But like, I'm happy because we're on to new beginnings. You know, we're finally, hopefully, going in the right track.
Uh-huh.
Hopefully, a rebuild next year. That's what we've been needing for so long. So.
We'll get into that. We'll get into that game momentarily. But I do really want to recognize, of course. We'll dive into that game momentarily, but I think the more I think about and I sit about and recognize, I don't want to bury the lead here today. And Jorge, I failed to like relay the news to you properly today. I walk into the office, or I see Jorge. I walk into my office and I say, "Hey, do you know? I think I said Fresno City's going to get
a new stadium,
and they're having a new soccer program or a new soccer team's coming." I don't know if I like totally said it that way.
So I think what I heard was Fresno City's getting a new soccer stadium, and I was like, "Oh, you know, what are they going to do with Redcliffe?"
Or
like,
yeah,
I guess that's not part of the, you know, because they got like a little like where they're set up.
Yeah.
It's pretty nice.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's next to Radcliffe, and they have the women's, you know, play there and the men's to play there.
You didn't question me on the news. You're just like, "Oh, that's interesting. I didn't see anything about that." And I mean, it's breaking.
I guess it's good because they have a great program down there and one of the best in the country. And, you know, so I don't know. 2028.
Sounded pretty reasonable. Yeah, as far as that. And then we go through the day, and then I think you call out to me at about 1:30?
I'm watching some. I got a little time downtime, and I'm watching some.
I think you're watching Gabe's story
on IG and Instagram, and all of a sudden he's talking about a new soccer team for Fresno.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the hell?
And that's what I meant to say. City of Fresno is bringing a new team, or at least efforts.
A pro soccer team. You know, we have Fresno Fuego, who's a pro amateur.
Yeah.
You know,
used to have the Foxes.
We used to have the Foxes to move to Monterey.
Yeah.
That franchise is in Monterey. So we ended up having nothing. When the Fuego moved to
the pro amateur,
it was with the whole coaching thing.
Yeah. So about maybe a year and a half, when they moved down, I think the city just didn't have any more pro soccer.
Uh huh.
And you know, it wasn't the same.
Well, now that you have the full picture, and Daniel, you can comment on this well, the full picture of this kind of announcement from the city of Fresno today, soccer coming at least in 2028, that's the plan, to build a new stadium. I think they cited it somewhere around the Chinatown district of downtown Fresno, kind of near those train tracks, I would imagine. There's some empty lots out there.
Yeah,
something where I think I read somewhere it will seat 7,000 people.
Yeah, 7,000.
7,000 for a soccer stadium. Nothing like crazy, but like, you know.
It's nice.
Yeah.
It's good to hear that. I mean, they were having 4,000 or 5,000 when the Foxes were at Chichansi, so that was good. Consistently, I think they had between 3,000 to 2,000 per game. The majority, I think it was 11.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a 7,000 seat stadium would be nice. You know, you could upgrade it later, but you know, soccer is big now. Soccer is, I feel like,
World Cup,
especially here. Yeah, especially around this time, it's been growing a lot.
Central Valley, of course, just the through line of soccer, right? Daniel, you love soccer. You know a lot of people, I would imagine, that are excited for this opportunity. Do you remember going to the Fox? I mean, I'm sure you remember the Fuego games. I don't know if you've been to the Foxes games, or you're probably younger, much younger then. But
yeah, early Fuego, I remember like the Fuego before the Foxes.
Yeah.
I went to maybe like two games. I was a lot younger, but there were still like pretty good for like Valley soccer.
Yeah.
And then I'd been to a couple Foxes games as well. those were, I think just the soccer community here is just very, it's very tight packed. Everybody's together, and like there's been an initiative to like keep it growing mm-hmm. more and more. And I think this helps a lot. But like I told you like earlier before the show, like I think it really should all start with Fresno State. Just,
you want Fresno State to still have a men's soccer team, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's the difficult part, though, yeah. is the limitations with that. And I explained to you, you know, the Title IX situation. And, of course, if you add, you got to add somewhere on the women's side as well. And where do you add that? And where's the money coming from for that? And Fresno State's already asking students for so much money for other sports already. It's impossible to kind of, like, want to have that in terms of it, or something has to go by the wayside. And I don't really know where that would go. So. This is the next best thing, right, Jorge, I would guess, is to have the pro move in here.
Yeah, I think it's good to have – it'd be great to have something at Fresno State, but you don't need necessarily have it. One,
yeah.
You have to have it. I know that for sure there's people that – you know, there's a soccer club at State. It's not the same thing as a, you know, it's a program.
Yeah.
But – you know what Fresno City does, even Clovis has a huge team too. The new league that's coming up, mm-hmm. which is the local Lightning League, that has is starting to grow a little bit more, and it's trying to bring a lot of little towns and smaller towns into one league,
mm-hmm.
which is creating a soccer community bigger, which eventually it'll mean that it'll start growing more. And creating it and making pretty much Fresno a hub for Central Valley for soccer.
And by the way, this isn't this isn't exclusively to men's soccer. They're looking at women's professional soccer as well.
Yeah, yeah. It's a dual. Usually, right now as it stands, if you're gonna start a soccer community or not just a community, but like a soccer club, it's gonna be both, just because the demand is there. Both women's and men's teams are pretty, you know, they all want to play soccer. So the men's there, it's just logistically how you bring that up and how you make that manage that is the difficult part.
Yeah. I'm looking at an artist rendering of that old proposed downtown soccer.
So the Fuego has been proposing one for a long time.
Yeah.
And the only bad part about it is that it's near Blackbeard's, I think, and that's near the airport, which you can't really build anything serious near the airport.
It looks downtown from what I'm looking at.
No, that one is. That one is. Yeah. I think the one you're looking at.
Oh, this one's
is
looking like right behind Selen. Is that what I'm looking at? It's like, yeah, they would replace that north parking lot.
That was
the proposal.
That was
the
proposal where the Foxes wanted to.
Yeah.
The Foxes wanted to put something downtown, make it, you know, but the city didn't have the money, didn't want to spend the money.
Yeah.
Owners of the Foxes were, you know, they always want to save some money. So if they decided that if they weren't going to get a help from the city, just weren't going to stay.
The sustainability of soccer here, right, in terms of the professional level, where does it stem from, the issues? It's not just the fact that there's not interest. I think the interest is there. I think it's just quite simply stadiums make professional leagues stay. Stadiums make professional players want to stay. Facilities, all of that investment. And that's where Jerry Dyer, from what I'm reading, he kind of led with today, is the stadium's the important thing. Stadium's going to be the important thing as part of this deal. Now, I mentioned a downtown Fresno China era town area. Jerry Dyer, not specifically outlining where it would be, but more alluding to that would be the preferred spot.
Chinatown right now it's in a revitalized area.
Yeah,
there's a lot of older buildings that are just crumbling down. We saw one burn mm-hmm. down a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
That area is looking nicer because they're spending more money in it, and the city got money to spend in downtown area, and it's considered that area of Chinatown is still considered downtown. So if they want to make something out of there, the area where Tachansi is and where what we call the main downtown is, mm-hmm. it's pretty much already all occupied, and there's no real room unless you want to take a couple.
Well, I'm looking at like west of 99, and I'm looking at well where it could be. Anyways, we're getting a phone call in right now. Not sure who that will be. But anyways, by the way, Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430, the way to reach our show. It's interesting kind of looking at a map of downtown Fresno and kind of percolating the ideas of where it could be and where it could go and where a stadium could exist. Soccer stadiums don't necessarily have the biggest footprint when it comes to what they are as well. So it's going to be interesting to kind of see where things can kind of lay out for it. I wouldn't imagine south of the 99 makes sense. I think it has to be in those areas and older building. I'm looking at maybe something on G Street, like between Inyo and Kern. There's like a big empty lot that potentially could fit something in. Or I don't know. Who knows? I'm not a city planner. I don't know the next thing to nothing about city planning whatsoever. But there certainly is, it looks like, real estate down there that could get you excited for a soccer game and excited for a soccer stadium. And I think there would certainly be excitement to it as well. So we spent a lot of time on this topic. We're going to get into it with Gabe in the next hour. So he'll be at the top of the show at 4 there in hour number 2. So good conversation there. Let's take a break. And when we come back, we will talk some NFL, a little touch on the Steeler-Texan game, and then do some Bedotti Blitz here, ranking the best possible Super Bowls left on the playoff docket. So let's take a break. When we come back, more show next on 1430 ESPN. Welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader, here on this hour, number one of 2 hours today before we send it off to 5 o'clock. Then yours truly and Paul Metters calling the game, Hoover and Justin Garza tonight, 6:15 pre, 6:30 tip-off. Will be a very good game. I'm telling you what, we've hit bangers. Every game we've had has been really fun, really exciting. So don't go anywhere. You want to tune in for that, 6:15 there. All right. This is going to be a fun segment, and you guys can agree, too high, too low. I think it's going to be good to do that in this segment, and quite simply, it will be. I had just a crazy, you know, harebrained idea to do this segment because I was wondering how we do the Bonatti Blitz. It's not a very big segment if we're only ranking 4 divisional games for the next round. And so I thought, here's the math, right? There's 8 teams left. And in my head and by my math and by my machinations, there are 16 possible Super Bowls out there right now by my math. So I decided to rank every possible Super Bowl. And you guys are going to tell me too high, too low, or if you feel good about that spot, whatever. So this is what the Bonatti Blitz is. Oh, hey, are you ready? Daniel, are you ready?
Let's do it.
You ready to do the Bonatti Blitz? Bonatti Blitz, by the way, brought to you by Grocery Outlet. Visit your Grocery Outlet for all your Super Bowl playoff party needs, all that stuff. Get all the food you want for your playoff watch parties. Be the talk of the town by going to Grocery Outlet, getting all the great deals, saving money. Download their app as well. Visit your grocery outlets in Northwest Fresno, Downtown Fresno, Southeast Fresno, Kerman, and Sanger today. All right, here we go. The Bonatti Blitz. The top 16 Super Bowl possible matchups. We don't need to spend a whole lot of time on each one, but we go from the worst to the first, as we always do. And my worst matchup available out there is Texans and 49ers. Quite simply, it's the one matchup I saw last time this season. It was not very close. I would imagine the 49ers would have a very tough time against Houston in that game. And, the DeMeco Ryans versus Kyle Shanahan factor would be interesting. But I think this is the one that loses out the luster for me in terms of football sense. I'm not trying to hurt your Niners here. I'm just saying. Texans-Niners, least interesting matchup, in my opinion.
They're already playing.
Yeah, and they lost badly.
Yeah, so I think things should change.
You would hope. But I've seen once and I did not like it. So, yeah.
You would hope, but I think it would go the exact
same way. Is this the lowest matchup for you?
Yeah, I was looking at it a little bit. I'm like, I agreed that this would be like the lowest. I wouldn't watch it straight up.
I'd still watch it. I'm telling you, we're going to be eating good because all these matchups I really enjoy. I just don't know if I like Texans Niners.
Nah, I think it's going to be a great matchup.
Okay. You're going to say every Niner matchup is going to be a great
pretty
matchup.
Pretty much, yes.
All right. Well, here you go. Next on number 15, Broncos and Niners, because I just see the same old story with Broncos and Niners in terms of that defense and the way it can attack. And
they took our defense.
I know. They did. They really did. It's hello, old friends. How are we doing? And I would imagine this game could get away from the Niners as well in the Super Bowl. There's a couple matchups. I'm like, I'm okay with the Niners. I'm just saying this one right now feels like the objectively worst matchup in terms of football sense. Broncos, Niners, I don't think it would be close. I think the Broncos would run away with it. And that is why I have that as my 15th ranked Super Bowl.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like this would be one of those games where it's like Niners would be up and then Broncos just come back, just like how they've done against all shaky teams this season.
I feel like this is, you know, I don't know. It's a good matchup. I think they would play well, and I think the Niners are, you know, a little bit better than the Broncos. But I mean, of course, you're gonna say no to that. But yeah. You know.
Next up, Texans and Rams sit here now, and I'll tell you what. At this point, I'm like, all right. I think all of these games can be good. But I just think we saw this one before as well. Week one, remember, low-scoring game. Rams barely kind of got out of there with a short victory. Good defense versus good offense, but I really think it could get lopsided. CJ Stroud against that pass rush. So Texans-Rams, my number 14 Super Bowl possibility.
Actually, I can see that, you know, being a decent matchup, but not too excited. Yeah, it'll be very, very defensive, I would say that.
Yeah, very defensive. I do think these teams both definitely do play better than they did week one, but I feel like it would still be a dogfight, low-scoring game, but I agree with the placement.
Next up, Patriots and Niners sit here now. The Patriots, of course, I know they can run the ball well. The Niners can run the ball well. That defense can be a problem for the Niners offense as well, but I would be interested to see Bay test that Niners defense with some deep passing ability as well. Fred would be back. It'd be a very interesting matchup, but at this point I'm like, there are better matchups for me I'm more interested in. So Patriots Niners sits here at 13.
I would have this a little higher, to be honest. I think this is a matchup I would want to see. Like, mm-hmm. Maybe not my top pick, but I definitely do want to see how these two teams would fight against each other. I think just the way that this Niners team has performed, granted everything, I think they're still performing very well against Patriots, who I do like their defense. I like the Patriots defense a lot. We saw what they did to the Chargers. So I'd love to see how they stack up against each other.
I just feel like, you know, it'd be a pretty even fight.
Yeah.
You know, even game. It's hard to tell, but yeah.
Patriots and Bears is next for me, because I think Caleb could have some interesting moments in this game, but I think the Patriots could match up well. But on the flip side, I think the Patriots could get into some trouble with the turnover potential against that Bears defense. This would be a very intriguing matchup. I would be very interested in this one, but like I said, I'm just more interested in other matchups ahead of this one, but this one just kind of slots there for me as my next matchup. 12 overall Super Bowl possibility.
I feel like I've seen this matchup before, and it wasn't as exciting as I thought it would be.
Well, the last time we played the Bears, it was Zappy.
Zappy
when we were trying to bench Mac Jones. It wasn't fun.
But I think the mobility of Williams is it might catch up to the defense of
he'd be close.
I think Caleb Williams is one of the quarterbacks who is better on the run than in the pocket.
Yeah,
but I think this would be an intriguing matchup as well. I like it. I think maybe just like one or two spots higher than you have it, but I do like it. I would love to see how this team is. I think the Bears are the most fun team in the playoffs left.
Number 11, Broncos and Seahawks. We've seen this before. I don't want to see that again. Just the uniform matchup. This drags it down for me, but I do think like two defensive teams matching up against each other would be a low-scoring matchup, but I think the one seeds, interestingly enough, are maybe the least interesting teams out there. So I put Broncos Seahawks at number 11 overall.
Yeah, Broncos Seahawks. I feel like this would be more touchdown heavy.
Yeah.
Than defensive heavy.
You think really more touchdowns?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like this will make it be like, you know, that the Niners, who do they play? Where they just keep going at each other, the Bears.
Yeah, you think it's gonna be that? Wow. Okay. Yeah. All right.
I don't know. I feel like the only reason I'd like to see this matchup is just to see how Sam Darnold plays against the Broncos pressure compared to like the Rams pressure. Because it seems like he's learned the Rams pressure a bit. But just because I know Darnold does, like, he definitely does not do well against QB pressure a lot, but I feel like it'd be a little interesting, but a little lower.
Number 10, the Texans and the Seahawks. I'm actually mad I had this high. I remember the game earlier this year. It was a Monday night game, and it was abhorrent how horrible the two teams played against each other. Sam Darnold, anytime the Texans wanted to give the game away, the Sam Darnold threw a pick to him and somehow kept the Texans alive in it. I actually wish I still had this lower, but this is how my list goes. It's number 10 for me. Texans, Seahawks. Two good defenses again.
Yeah, because, yeah, I mean, I feel like every team that's on this playoffs has a good defense, or at least tries, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the Niners are the worst defense, but even then, they got carried on all the way over here. So it just, I don't know how many points we could see with these two teams on the field.
You can tell my trend here. I'm looking at the lower scoring potential Super Bowls as my least interesting ones.
Yeah.
Tell you what, there's one team you haven't heard yet that I would say is chaotic as you know what.
Yeah, I'm quite surprised that team hasn't been said yet. But yeah, like I definitely do think this should be lower. I think this should be lower, like how I had it, where those two other games were above. But I think I agree with you where this would be a low-scoring game and just dogfight in the trenches.
Next up, I have Patriots and Seahawks here. And like I said, we've seen it before a little bit, but I don't think we're going to get as great of a game as what 2014 showcased in terms of it. But I do think there's some interesting factors of what the Patriots can do in throwing the deep ball potentially on Seattle's defense. I think there's more of a, instead of defense versus defensive strength, I think there's strengths on both sides of the ball that would make the game very interesting chess match. So I think we're moving into a territory of like actually things maybe moving forward in a good fashion of this matchup. So I have Patriots Seahawks at 9.
I mean, Patriots Seahawks, it just feels like there's history there.
We've seen it before.
It could be like that again, but then again, they're kind of different styles now.
Yeah.
So I don't know what we would get. It'd be interesting to watch, though.
Certainly.
Yeah, give us it, 12 years later? I'd definitely love to see that matchup just because of the history behind it. Granted, you know, two completely different offenses since the last time they matched up in the Super Bowl.
Oh, my God, dude.
But it would still be great. I think that would be a pretty even game.
Can't believe I did this in my ranking, but number 8, it's the final Seahawks matchup. Bills and Seahawks sit here now, and here's where I'm at. I have the Bills entering here as like the last team I mentioned, just because when you have a team that has a quarterback and has an ability to just kind of do anything on offense, despite anything that's up against them defensively, there's a good chance there's chaos to ensue in a game like that. And so I start with the Bills entering here at number 8 against the Seahawks and just saying, all right, let's see how that test looks between Josh Allen and what that Seahawks defense can provide. And on the flip side, will the Bills struggle to stop that Seattle offense? I think of all the Seahawks potential Super Bowls, them versus the Bills, I would be very interested in.
I like this matchup because it'll be more of a offense versus defense matchup.
Yeah.
And we'll see what if the Seahawks, you know, sometimes can do something on offense to get them past the Bills defense and vice versa. You know, I think it'll be a good matchup though.
Yeah, I'd like to see what Josh Allen could do to that Seahawks defense. Josh, I just, like you said, he's able to do whatever he wants basically, and if you can't stop him, then that's basically the whole offense right there. And it can go downhill very fast with that.
My top 7 Super Bowl possibilities. Now we're at number 7, Bills and Bears. I feel like two teams looking at themselves in the mirror, the way they can run the ball, the way they quarterbacks act on the field, the way there's a never say die between two teams. I would say this is the most underrated potential matchup. Maybe I'm not even properly rating it as it sits here, but Bills-Bears would be very fascinating matchup in Santa Clara.
Bills-Bears. Man, I think this would be good. I mean, two quarterbacks that could throw, that could move. Yeah, interesting. It'll definitely – whoever has the best defense will probably win that game.
I feel like this is like a matchup that happened back in like the 50s just with how for lack of a better term, bad like those franchises were for a while.
The 50s.
Yeah, like Norm Van Brocklin shouting out anybody or just the style.
But yeah, I think just with how fun the Bears are and how like offensive proficient that the Bills are, I think this would just be like one of those like Niners-Bears games where they're going back and forth, back and forth.
Number six, I have Texans and Bears, and I am just fascinated simply for one reason. How the Texan pass rush will go up against Caleb Williams and his magic nature of ability to escape the rush. That's worth the price of admission for me. So Texans-Bears is my number six possible Super Bowl matchup.
Interesting. Yeah. Another offense versus defense. Can they handle Williams's mobility or is this defense better than, you know, anything out there? Interesting. Yep. I like it, though.
With this matchup, I think you could call this the Caleb Williams Superstar X-Factor game with the way I feel like this would be his best game, like, ever, just always being able to go out.
Yeah. I don't know, because he might get frustrated by not having anything out there, and he didn't have to be running.
And then he somehow wins the game because the Texans can't score. And then the team that just elevates above it, Broncos-Bears. This is my last Bears possible matchup. And the Broncos-Bears sits here at number five for me because I just think the Broncos offense has a little more juice than the Texans offense and can keep up with it and just make it an objectively better game. So the Broncos-Bears sits just above that for me at number five.
Okay, I can see that. Very interesting.
A lot of orange.
Broncos, Sean Payton's team is always, you know, trying to throw the ball and trying to do some trickery. So, yeah, I can see that.
Let's get weird.
I like it. You know, definitely. I feel like this is your sicko matchup with the way both offenses are. But I like it. I like where it's put. I think this would be exciting.
Number four, Broncos-Rams here at number four. The Rams and the Broncos, just two dueling different kind of styles of play. What that defense can do against that offense. Fascinated by the corner play against those top wide receivers. I think this Super Bowl would be very much cinema to me. And I think the colors of the Super Bowl would look great too between those two teams. It just would feel right. Broncos-Rams at number four.
It'll definitely be a very tactical game. Kind of what we saw this Friday or last Sunday with the Niners and the Eagles. Like, it's moving pieces, and whoever makes the most mistakes probably loses this game.
Jorge, to put this in soccer terms, this would be a Pep Guardiola versus Mikel Arteta type game with the tactics that are going on, except a lot more high scoring. But
a lot more.
I would definitely be excited for this matchup. I would love it.
Number three, Patriots and Rams. And just quite simply, the storyline. Maybe it might not be a good game, but I would say the storyline of two MVP candidates who have been dueling it out all year. One of them wanted to find out right before the game who is the MVP and how would they respond, both of them, Stafford and Drake May. It could be leading up to that kind of matchup in the Super Bowl this season. Wouldn't that be fascinating? I think the game would be great, too, between two awesome offenses and some big-time defensive players as well. Patriots-Rams at number three.
Patriots-Rams. Wow. That's an interesting... one of those games where you know somebody's going to score a fantastic one-hand catch.
Something crazy.
In the end zone. Yeah. And then they're going to lose that game. You could just see that.
Yeah.
I like this because I feel like this is, like you said, with the whole MVP thing, I feel like this puts into terms with what one of our other blitzes early in the year with who do you trust the most and do or die. This would be the game for that, and I love that. I love where this is at.
Number two, possible Super Bowl, Bills and 49ers. Just simply the storyline of the kid that grew up here in the Central Valley with the Niners in his backyard as a team. I don't know if he grew up rooting for him. It feels like he should have. Anyways, it's the closest local team to it. He's playing in his home state.
Kendrick.
Trying to win a Super Bowl. Wouldn't that be nice? And doing it in the stadium that he has never played in, Josh Allen.
Yeah. I think he was a Niners fan at one point. But, you know, I think.
What are your sources?
What are my sources?
Yeah.
No, I'm like, I know that for sure that, you know, it'll be a great story nonetheless and great Super Bowl.
Yeah, I feel like this is more of a storyline matchup, but I do like it. I do like the fact of him, like, coming back home, winning a game, winning a Super Bowl in front of, hopefully, in front of his family. Like, that, I think that has a lot of more, like, emotional shift to it, but I like it.
And my number one possible Super Bowl, it's a game I saw last year, and it was a game I want more and more of. Bills and Rams at Levi's Stadium. Wouldn't that be magic between two teams that would certainly, it would feel like an NBA shootout in a sense. Could be the potential for the highest scoring Super Bowl out there. Plus, two great matchups of minds on the football field when it comes to the offensive prowess versus the defensive prowess. Cannot wait. Bills Rams has the chance to be an all-time great Super Bowl if that matchup ends up coming to fruition. And that is my number one Super Bowl possibility left in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think that'd be a great matchup and very tactical, very, you know, going down to the last minute kind of matchup. But essentially, I just feel like the Bills have a better team that have better chances in there.
Yeah, I think I like this matchup simply for the fact that these are both two quarterbacks that can do things, drive downfield, and just absolutely beat a defense no matter what. And I feel like this would be the best showcase of that ever. So yeah, I do like this at number one.
And that is your Benatti Blitz brought to you by Grocery Outlet. You guys feel good about the list or any major objections here? I know I put your Niners down there pretty early.
Yeah, I feel like you have zero trust in them.
You're just hurt.
All right.
You're just hurt, man.
That's all right.
You're hurt.
I know.
I had to power rank the teams left in the playoffs, Jorge, I'm putting the Niners at 8. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know you would.
Yeah, it's what I have to do.
I do like the number one matchup because those are both the teams I'm rooting for on either side. So
Bills and Rams, Bills and Niners, Patriots, Rams, Broncos, Rams. Yeah, anything with the Rams in it to me feels like that game's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yep.
All right. Let's take a break. Let's wrap up this hour next on 1430 ESPN. Welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Wrapping up hour number one before we send it out to hour number two. Of course, it is got hour number two coming up with Gabe Camarillo is going to join us for a segment talking soccer, talking all kinds of things as well. We'll get to that. Jorge. What the hell's wrong with the Lakers, man? Your Kings beat them last night.
You mean what's been going on with my Kings?
Are your Kings back?
Are they better than what they're supposed to be?
I literally asked the question. I'm like, what the hell happened to Malik Monk? And then apparently last night Malik Monk said, hey, I got 26-8 in me.
Yeah, I did not expect that.
Yeah.
I wasn't watching it, but I was here listening to the Lakers postgame.
Uh-huh.
And I started hearing all the stats, and I'm like, what? And the Beto O'Rourke or whoever,
not Beto O'Rourke. Where are we at? All right. Whoa.
The guy from the Lakers post game was talking about, you know, how they're horrible and they can't need to be better. And I'm like, man, I'm happy that the Kings win, but this guy is just really going hard on the Lakers here.
Russ with 25 and 22, 5 and 7.
Two revenge games.
Yeah.
It was Beto Duran. That's what it was.
Beto Duran. Yeah. Beto Duran. Okay. Luka with 42. 7 and 8 last night, and LeBron had 22 points. He was 0 for 5 from the three-point range. The Lakers have two issues. It is they can't make threes, and they can't play defense. And I quite simply think they are who I thought they were at the beginning of the season, which is a team incapable of winning a title. We were fooled for like a month and a half with it, and I don't know what kind of move you can make if you're the Lakers here moving forward in terms of who's out there, because I just quite simply don't think this team is just capable of sustaining a two-month run through a grueling playoff where you have OKC potentially waiting at the tail end of that, and you're asking yourself, what's the realistic chance here of winning a title when you know the paramount goal is winning a title with LeBron James at the end of it. But the there's so much liability on the court that I just don't think it's a realistic goal. And so you sit and you're like, how are we moving through the season? And now you got to turn it around and try to beat Atlanta tonight, who, by the way, I think I checked, they're underdogs at home to Atlanta. You know what I mean?
Like, wow.
Yeah.
Hey, all I got to say is there's a defensive player that can shoot threes right across the street.
Are you trading? The Lakers and the Clippers would never trade in the history of humanity. They would never, ever trade in any sort of situation. Is like I'm in the headspace of like, is there a Pistons trade that is Tobias Harris out there available for the Pistons if they do like a three team? Because the Pistons need like Michael Porter Jr. or something like that, or maybe the Lakers need Michael Porter Jr.
Yeah. In terms
of, out of the Nets. Like that's the only move I think of in terms of the Lakers, like saying get somebody who can shoot a three. Yeah, the Hawks are -3.5 tonight. -3.5 tonight on the road in LA. Like, what are we talking about here with this Laker team?
I really don't know.
Yeah.
It's I think they hit a point where, you know, they need more than what they're getting out of their bench, which
they can't get more out of Luka.
Yeah. Luka, I feel like Luka's just, you know, giving everything he's got, and that 6 minutes. And I think we talked about it before, how they're usually, you know, content with what they got, but they stop looking for, like, bench players. When somebody goes down, usually they don't have that extra guy to come up and cover for them. But that's how they've been this few years, and they haven't been good.
Hey, so there's this guy. He isn't well known. He's in Dallas. He just got injured, but
we're not. He's not helping him. Ain't helping him this year.
He just got injured. He's not gonna be available for the rest of the year. But
the Mavericks are banned from training with the Lakers for like the next 20 years. Like that's just simply what it's rule of law in Dallas that they cannot do that. By the way, I didn't mention Luka questionable tonight, and also LeBron James questionable tonight in a back to back coming from Sac.
Aren't they both at risk of like being out of awards now?
Yeah. Well.
Shea gets his easy MVP this year.
Does that matter? But no. Hey, at least LeBron got a cool patch he can wear.
Damn.
For playing the record 23 seasons in the NBA, you know.
How many did Jordan play, like 20?
It's 20. All a gimmick, so Tops
actually,
can make the money.
You want to hear, today's a very relevant Jordan day. There's a Jordan on this day. Math tells me 27 years ago? This is the second time Michael Jordan announced his retirement from the NBA?
Really?
Was this the one where he went to go play baseball?
No, that was the first one. The second one, this is his retirement for the NBA. And then he did come back and play for the Wizards for a little bit.
Yeah.
Back in 99. So, yeah, on this day, Jordan announced his retirement.
This was the 99 season.
Yeah, 99. Also today, 35 years ago, Bo Jackson hurt his hip against the Bengals, which then ended Bo Jackson's career.
Yep.
Sad to say. Anyways, sorry for the downer.
Man.
Man. Bo Jackson, remember him?
I didn't have that many yards anyways.
The kids are realizing how... No, I'm not even going to speak. There's somebody calling right now who's like, you do not talk the way you talk about Bo Jackson, the way you're about to slander him.
Honestly, he was a beast whenever he came up. I remember I watched him like, at the very end of his career, and it wasn't the same.
Who are some other flash in the pan guys? Like guys you're like, that guy could have been incredible if he just stayed healthy. Like, ooh, to me, like, Cadillac Williams is always a name I think of.
Yeah, Cadillac Williams.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of, like, other guys. Like, Miles Austin is the name I could think of. Like, he was incredible for 2 years for the Cowboys. Austin. And then he just disappeared.
How old are we talking here?
That you're out of this conversation, right? I'm excluding you from this because I'm talking guys that were playing before you were born in terms of that.
I'm trying to think of players.
I'm trying to think of what's – I still have some stock in –
They were explosive and
– Yeah.
There was this very famous Mike Williams guy.
Mike Williams. There was the Bucks Mike Williams.
Yeah, the Bucks Mike Williams.
Yeah.
Played for like one season and then all of a sudden he was gone.
Josh Gordon?
Yeah.
Yeah? That's a great name.
There was this little guy in Pittsburgh called
Martavis Bryant.
I loved him.
I watched him play arena football. I actually saw him at an arena football game.
Really?
In Bismarck, North Dakota. That's where he was playing. I don't know what he's doing now.
I don't know either, but I loved his short stint in Pittsburgh. He was great.
Yeah. But now he's just doing his thing. All right, let's take a break. Hour number two coming up next. Gabe Camarillo is going to join us and chat with us for a little bit. So we'll give him a call. Stay with us. Behind the Bench rolls along. Hour number two next.
He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on air and talk about how right I am once again in anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guests.
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, man. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last 5-6 weeks. But super excited to be here.
Phil Benatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right, Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno the Valley's local sports leader. Hour number two of our show here before we get rolling over to high school hoops tonight. Hoover and Justin Garza tonight on the docket for us tonight, so it should be pretty good. 6:15 pregame, 6:30 tip-off from Justin Garza. Excited to be joining our next guest, who's on the Lee's Air Hotline right now here at the top of the hour. Of course, you know him from KMPH. You also know him from previous ESPN Fresno programs, but he's here on the hotline now. Gabe Camarillo joining us now. And hey, Gabe, timing's everything. It's good to have you on the show. I'm excited to talk about a few topics, but I think you know which one I want to start with. How are you doing on this Tuesday afternoon?
Good. Happy New Year. I think this might be my first appearance in 2026.
Yeah. Good to have you. How are you feeling? 2026 feeling good so far for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's been, 12 days? And already some major news coming to Fresno. I'm excited because I love professional sports, and there could be a professional franchise here in Fresno in the next few years. But there's a lot to be determined still. But today we got some good news, and I'm excited.
Yeah, so full transparency for the audience. I texted you yesterday. I was like, hey, you want to come on the show? Just wanted to kind of do an update on Fresno State stuff, talking about the transfer portal update so far, maybe a little basketball conversation. But I would imagine our rundown got blown up a little bit out of that because we had some breaking news today from the city, which announcing here that they have an exclusive agreement with United Soccer League to explore building a downtown soccer-specific stadium and potentially bringing a franchise to the Central Valley. Big headline, of course, you were there at the presser today, and you have a story out there already about it. I'd imagine this was exciting news for you as Valley native, and for those who I'm sure were there excited to see this come to fruition potentially. What was your reaction to the news?
Well, like a lot of others, maybe a little skeptical because there's been soccer here in Fresno before at the professional level, and it's been folding. You got the Fresno Fuego back in 2003. They were founded, and the USL League 4. And then around 2017, they became the Fresno FC Foxes and actually got bumped up to the USL Championship Division, which is the second tier out of the four tiers in American soccer. The top tier is MLS. The second tier is like AAA for MLS, USL Championship, which Fresno FC was part of from 2018 to 19, but they couldn't figure out how to build a soccer-only venue, so that franchise moved to Monterey Bay. They're currently the Monterey Bay FC. And then the second try that USL gave, I don't think it really had a chance to begin with because they still couldn't figure out how to build a soccer stadium downtown. Now the USL is giving Fresno a third chance, and it's all because of the revitalization effort that's been seen in downtown Fresno. You know, the city of Fresno committing $300 million to revitalizing downtown, trying to get more businesses and just more people in general to visit Street in the downtown area. And, you know, we can spend a whole radio show just talking about how to make downtown better. I've tried to give my opinions. I try to give my two cents, like what could help make downtown Fresno viable economically and fun to go to socially. And that there's a chance that we could see that with this plan. So there's no, like, set in stone anything. It's just all strictly the city of Fresno announcing that since November 1st, they've been talking to the USL about building a soccer stadium here in Fresno and then bringing a soccer franchise, an expansion franchise, to the city. And they've already determined where they want it to be. I mean, at first, in the press conference, they tell you, yeah, you know, we're looking at all the sites, we're looking at everything, we don't have a specific venue. But I asked Jerry Dyer straight up, the mayor of Fresno, you keep talking about downtown, downtown, downtown. Is the stadium going to be downtown? He's like, Gabe, yes. We want it to be downtown. The city council wants it to be in the Chinatown, downtown Fresno area. Miguel Arias, the Fresno city council member, said that they've already purchased land where they want it to be. It's expected to be 7,000 standing room capacity with 5,000 seats, take about a minimum of 6 acres, but cost around $50 million is what Jerry Dyer estimated. He couldn't give an exact number, but he said stadiums like what Fresno wants to build that he's seen in other cities costs around $50 million. Now, the USL is on board with paying some of that. Not all of it, but you have the USL willing to chip in some money. You talk to Adam Smith, former Fresno FC coach, who's now leading the charge on the investing side with Fresno Pro Soccer LLC. They're going to take on organizing the investment group that makes the stadium happen. He said there's a lot of investors lining up. He wants more local investors because if you have too many out-of-town investors, well, what does that mean? That means the ownership group could be out of town and then you risk losing your team that you worked so hard to build a stadium for, right?
Yeah.
But overall, to kind of sum it up, they have an idea of where they want their stadium to be. They've already taken steps towards making that a reality. They don't have a drawing of it yet. They don't have all the money for it yet, but they have a commitment from the USL that by October 31st of this year, that's when this one-year exclusivity period ends, they hope to have everything set in stone, and they hope to have soccer back in Fresno professionally by March of 2028. But obviously, the skeptic might say,
"Yeah,
good luck for that happening, right?" But today was a positive, I think, because it is truly, you know, set in motion, and we'll see where it goes from here.
Well, you hit on many, many, many things I could touch on there from what you were saying. And I think the number one thought that always pops in the people's head is, we've had two shots at this. Why is a third going to be different? And I think that's the number one question for a lot of people in terms of that. When you ask that question specifically in the frame of what they're trying to get people excited about with this, with this notion of a soccer soccer professional club here, why do you think it's going to be different with the third go round? Do you really believe that, or is that a right question to pose it at here?
I can give you what is different with this attempt. They are in partnership with the USL. Before, they were not in partnership with the USL. This is an example of the USL wanting Fresno. They want to have Fresno back in its league because of the investment into downtown that they're seeing, and also because they talked about it, all the council members and Jerry Dyer talked about it too. Fresno's a soccer town. There's so much soccer talent that comes out of the Central Valley that I think goes unnoticed. Like, how many people know that a Fresno native, a San Joaquin Memorial grad, could be playing in the World Cup for Team USA this summer? I'm bet, like, 10, out of 10 people on the road that I can walk up to in Fresno, maybe one or two of them can say Max Arfston's name. that to me says, yes, Fresno is a soccer town. It produces a lot of soccer talent, a lot of soccer fans, but there's still room to grow the game here in the Central Valley. And what better way to grow the game for Fresnans and for the USL than to go into this market? The market number 55, I think it is, in the country, a market that only has one professional sports team, and that's the Fresno Grizzlies, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. So I think this area is missing a pro sports team. It's kind of still filling the void that the Fuego left. And I think the USL knows that because they're willing to put in a significant amount of money. They're talking about hundreds of thousands, close to maybe a million, or maybe more than a million, they said. The USL is willing to put in to help make a stadium happen and help make this dream a reality. So that's what's different. The USL is going to significantly help Fresno with this project, where that wasn't the case before.
Yeah, the stadium is always the crux, right? And who pays for it? And we know in the modern sports age of that kind of conversation that fans and people who live in areas are getting smarter to that idea of what the bill will look like in terms of paying for that stadium. And you mentioned about Jerry Dyer saying $50 million was the potential price tag to it. You mentioned the input of what the USL is going to get into this stadium, but you know, where is the money coming from? And how is that going to be addressed from the city standpoint? And will people be willing to do that? Is one other question to be asked. So,
Gay, well, let me tell you this.
Yeah, go ahead.
If they can't put together a 5,000 seat soccer stadium, then they better just stop hoping for a new football stadium. Am I wrong in saying that?
That's true.
Like, everyone wants a new Fresno State football stadium, but if the city can't even put together enough money for a 5,000 seater, then what are they going to do when they want to replace Bulldog Stadium?
That's very true. That is very true in terms of the counterpoint to it. I would say people, what are people loyal to, Fresno State or Fresno City? You know, the city of Fresno, and where, you know, so there's people who live here and they're like, I don't really care what the Bulldog, whatever Fresno State does in terms of it. There are people out there that live like that in any sense. But with the sport of soccer and how embedded it is in the Central Valley, you've done probably numerous stories about great soccer stories out there in terms of it. I think of Edison last year as a great story this past season. But tell me a little bit, you know, you're just on the ground feel of, you mentioned it a little bit in the background when you're talking about it, but how much of a sense ingrained soccer is to this community and what a professional franchise can do for this community?
Well, let me start with the soccer part of that question. Like, when you come out to a random park on a Saturday or a Sunday, the soccer fields are full. And in fact, Miguel Arias was telling me today at the press conference that, honestly, he has reservations booked out days in advance for his parks and his district for soccer games. So, and I'm talking adult soccer leagues. It is the fastest growing sport in the world. And in Fresno, it is the most popular sport in this area. I mean, I know we got baseball and wrestling and football, but we're talking about recreational wise. Everyone plays soccer at every park you go to. I'd be surprised to go to a park and not see someone kicking around the football. So to that point, yes, Fresno's going to have a lot of fans go to these games, especially with it being a smaller venue. I mean, they're projecting this to be a 5,000 seat stadium. You could easily sell out a game there with 5,000 soccer fans in Fresno out of a town of 500,000, more than that, actually.
Yeah.
And then when it comes to professional sports, look, when the Grizzlies got demoted to single A, I can only speak for myself, but I'm sure others feel this way. A little piece of me died. Like, I was so sad when I lost the AAA affiliation for the team that I grew up watching.
Mm-hmm.
Because that meant I was watching, you know, younger players and maybe players that weren't guaranteed to go to the bigs. AAA, you knew you were going to see a couple big leaguers every year play for the Grizzlies. And then, you know, they go to low A, and you're happy when Ethan Holiday calls up because you know he's going to go, but who else is going to go to the big leagues on the current Fresno Grizzlies roster? So I think, for me at least, getting a professional sports franchise like the Fresno to be named Laters for soccer, they're going to be probably embraced so quickly because a lot of people here miss that level of excitement. I think this could be a USL championship team if everything is done well, like what the Fresno FC Foxes were. So you could see players on the precipice of going to MLS come through Fresno. I just think having that level of play would also encourage the younger generation to pick up the sport and to maybe encourage the future Max Arpstons to play soccer. I mean, what more could we want than to see more soccer talent come out of the Valley because they're inspired by watching the game at a professional level?
Well, that'd be great. And I think about high school stuff too, the multi-utilization of a stadium like this. If you have, you know, I don't know how, I can't remember how the central section stuff works. Is it just home? It's just a home game for whoever's the top seed, right? Is that what it is?
Yeah, for soccer, it's not like a one venue. So, yeah, and that's another good point too, because what the USLCOO told us today at the press conference was this venue isn't just for soccer. They could have high school football games here. They could have high school graduations at this venue. He mentioned that it could be a multi-use facility that I think everyone would be on board with. I mean, who wouldn't want to play in a professional stadium in high school football?
Imagine the D1AA championship right there instead of the chaos we had at Central, you know? Like
5,000 seats is kind of cramped, though. Like, I do think that those would be a hot ticket if you ever have a big game at that soccer stadium that isn't funded yet. Like, that's the biggest thing is I just want people to know this isn't like they announced it's for sure going to happen.
Yeah.
They just announced that
we're exploring it.
They want to, and that they're on the same page. USL and City of Fresno are on the same page. They want to. They're telling everyone about this because maybe they're hoping a local investor, you know, Daddy Warbucks of Fresno sees this story and says, I want to be part of that.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of what they were hoping for by sharing this as early as they did.
So the job is certainly just, I mean, they got to hit the ground running on this. You said there's a deadline on it, like you said next, like in October, is that what you said?
On November 1st, they enter the exclusivity period, which means USL can only talk to Fresno about a team. Fresno can only talk to USL about a team. And they're working together, and then that period is 365 days long. So from November 1st to October 31st is when they hope to iron out all the details. It's only January 12th, so they still have a lot of time to figure out who's going to fund it. And, you know, to confirm where it's going to be, they did already purchase a lot of parcels of land in the downtown Fresno and Chinatown area. So the city already is taking care of that. They've already put in infrastructure like water, sewage, phone lines, you know, anything else, internet. They've already kind of put in that infrastructure underneath the ground. And that's why USL is so on board with helping finance this stadium. So it's not just going to be all on the city of Fresno. Dyer made that very clear. It's going to be public and private working together to fund this.
Okay. Good stuff. And I want to move real quick to Fresno State because I know we don't have a lot of time here unless there's anything else on the story.
I'm running out of breath.
No, I know. I want to give you a little break there. Couple Fresno State questions, and then I'll let you go. First off, transfer portal so far for Coach Enns, it doesn't feel like you're losing a whole lot. Feels like we're gaining a couple key pieces there, but it feels like there still could be some more moves here. What do you assess? How do you quickly assess what the transfer portal has looked like for Coach Enns?
So they needed a quarterback, and they got Christian Martin, and I think that's the best you could get at this point because in this day and age of NIL, I feel like every year quarterbacks get more and more expensive. It's like the economy. It just keeps growing. Inflation. There's like quarterback inflation going on right now where Mikey Keene, who you got out of the transfer portal from UCF, you got a starter from UCF, you got a guy with experience. I don't think 3 years later, that guy cost the same amount of money. I think Mikey Keene's probably worth double or triple the amount that Fresno State paid for him when they got him at 23. So I think if you're expecting Fresno State to get another established starter from a Group of Five school, you got to realize that, like anything in life, just things get more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And now you get a quarterback who doesn't have that level of experience but has the intangibles.
6'4", you know, man.
I've heard
big
things about Christian Martin. What was that?
He's big. 6'4", man. He's tall.
Exactly. Stuff that you can't coach. You can't teach height, right? You can't coach physical attributes that Christian Martin has. So you're hoping that he has it up here mentally along with the physical traits and that he can be the leader for a really good Fresno State football team. I think this team's going to be really good. I was impressed with how they won 9 games with what they had last year without a – I hate to say it, but without a serviceable quarterback for most of the time. Yeah. I mean, maybe serviceable, the same way that my 2011 Toyota Prius is serviceable. Just, it gets you from point A to point B. That's pretty much it, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know if this new quarterback's a Prius like E.J. Warner or if he's a Maserati like Hayner. We're going to find out in a few weeks when spring ball starts. But the fact is he's taller than any Fresno State quarterback I've covered, which isn't saying a lot.
Tallest, is, I think, Derek Carr. I think that's the name. Yeah.
No, Derek Carr wasn't 6'4". Like, Marion was 6'2". Yeah. Jake was 6 feet. Micah Keene was 5'11". And I think EJ was around 6 feet, too. So you have a quarterback who passes the eye test. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's all you're going to really be able to get is someone who passes the eye test but won't show you a lot on film.
Yeah.
Because if they show you too much on film, then a bigger school with a bigger checkbook is going to snap them up before you can. So,
and honestly, honestly, if he balls out and somebody comes and poaches, there's a couple freshmen sitting there waiting in the wings that I wouldn't hate seeing them come up. Like, I think there's a real good spot here in the quarterback room, to be honest with
you. Christian Martin has 3 years of eligibility, so, you know, he could stay around if he wants.
Certainly can.
What does that mean for Deegan Rose and Chambers? I don't know.
Yeah.
But
the hope is he's good. And the hope is somebody wants him.
Yeah.
And that's always
the biggest pickup.
Yeah.
He's the biggest pickup because everyone else, like, there's a couple of defensive ends that didn't get much playing time. Yeah. One from Sac State. The other one is the son of Noonan, Danny Noonan.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of cool. Former Cowboy DN. And then you got some linebackers and the defensive backs from Nebraska. And, you know, there's a couple small pickups, but you needed a quarterback. Like, you couldn't go into this offseason with who you had last year and who you brought in this freshman. You needed to inject the quarterback room with some competition because last year, quarterback play was what held the team back from winning more than 9 games. You look at the 3 losses in particular that really burned me up. You had the loss to San Diego State where your defense played well enough to win that game. The only touchdown San Diego State scored after the first quarter was a pick six.
Yeah.
Like, you had – that defense could have won that game with maybe better quarterback play. And then you had the loss to Utah State where the offense just disappeared after halftime, and that's also where you could use a quarterback that can make plays with his legs and his arm. So I think Christian Martin can be that. I'm curious to see how Jaden Mandel looks after coming
back
from
the wild
surgery.
He's the wild card.
Yeah, exactly. So. He's maybe number two in my book right now, but only because I haven't seen him since the surgery.
Yeah,
I'm really excited to see Martin versus Mandel in spring ball because I think right now that's the quarterback battle.
That should be good. Should be good. One last little question: men's basketball plays tonight. Any notes on this game against Colorado State? Anything you've been thinking about with this men's team? They did pick up a win in Mountain West, but it feels like we're spinning our wheels a little bit.
Exactly that. I feel like it's the same team as last year, except they played an easier non-conference schedule. They do have an impressive win over Utah Valley. I think that might be their best win. It was home. It was the same day that Fresno State football beat Wyoming in the rain. Besides that, I mean, ever since Cellet Arena, this team's won a single game, and that was on the road at San Jose State. So it's the same team because you're not having a star player who can take over a game in the final minute or two. I thought maybe Jake Heidbreeder could have been that. I think about the Nevada loss a couple Saturdays ago. You know, Heidbreeder had the go-ahead bucket twice in the final 2 minutes. But this team gave up offensive rebounds and layups and lost the game to Nevada because of that. So you really need to just have everything going well, like on the right note. Everyone has to be playing their absolute best for this team to win a game. And I'm not sure that's good because, you know, not everyone's going to be playing their best game at the same time, but I feel like that's the only way Fresno State can win in this conference. It's just such a good conference. Put this Fresno State team in the Big Sky or put them in the West Coast Conference and they probably have a few more conference wins, but when you're going up against Utah State and San Diego State and Colorado State tonight, like, these are teams that have been to the NCAA tournament in the past 3 or 4 seasons multiple times, and Fresno State has been to 2 NCAA tournaments in the past 25 years. So how do you, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? Do the fans come and that ignites the crowd and that ignites the team? And does that wake the program up, or does the program have to wake up for the fans to wake up? Like, it's just so sad going to the St. Mark's Center these days because it is quite empty.
Yeah.
And how do you fill it up again? Well, you got to win games, but they're not winning games this year. They had a 6-game losing streak, and then they beat San Jose State, and then they lost their point guard, Zion Collins, to an ankle injury, and that totally, you know, defeated them before the game even tipped off. And they looked so lost on offense on Saturday, not finding the right guy to shoot the ball sometimes, sometimes shooting it too early, sometimes not even shooting it when the shot clock buzzer went off. It's always something, and I feel like a head coaching change doesn't fix it. It's a mindset change. It's people getting the checkbook out and saying, I'm going to pay for Fresno State basketball to be good because that's what everyone else is doing in this NIL era. Everyone's paying $500,000, a million for the best players. That's how you win the game now. And it's unfortunate, but it's just the way it is. So I think it doesn't matter who the head coach is. You can say Vance Wahlberg goodbye and bring the next guy in, and it still might be the same because – the same stuff we complain about under Hudson, the same stuff we complain about right now. So I don't think it's a coaching issue. I think it's just overall the program needs a hard reset in every aspect, not just coaching.
Yeah. A win won't cure tonight, certainly, even if that fact is anyway. But we'll
but
see
how it'll expect them to win tonight. Like I don't even know if they can win tonight. And that's just because the team talent wise, I mean Zion Collins and Jake Heidbreder, those are the two guys that can create their own shot and score at any possession. Yeah. Everyone else needs to be standing in the corner and they'll spot up shoot. Or I like seeing Deshaun Gorey get better, but if Deshaun Gorey is too good, you'll see him play for San Diego State next year, and that's not fair.
Don't say that.
And so that's what I'm saying. It's on Fresno State to be serious about basketball because they have a 19,000-seat arena that could be a great venue to watch and play basketball in, but if the team's not playing well, then it's going to be – 2,000
seats full. Yeah. Hey, Gabe, we're well over the time we are here, but I know you've been dying to just get rolling here on this on these topics, and maybe we just got to have you back again to get you rolling. So, but I appreciate you taking the time. Where can people find you and your story today about the soccer?
The soccer story will be published on KUPH.com with more details and quotes from everybody that is important to it, and that'll be on the website like right now as soon as I finish this phone call. And then the story will air tonight at 10 on Fox 26. Like I said, it's exciting because I'm a sports fan like everyone else is. That's why I'm a sports reporter. And just seeing a professional team come to Fresno, it should make every sports fan in Fresno happy because it's something else to do. Like you wake up on a random day off and you're saying to yourself, I can go watch professional soccer tonight.
Yeah.
Because I can, and I will, and it's in Fresno. We can start saying that to ourselves if this dream becomes a reality.
Well, we hope so. We hope so. Hey, Gabe, appreciate you. We'll talk to you later, and we'll have you back on for the topics I want to talk to you about on as well. we'll have a more proper hour with you here down the road. All right. So appreciate it as always, man.
Thank you.
All right. Gabe Camarillo of KMPH right here on the Lee's Air Hotline. Let's take a break. We'll be right back with more Behind the Bench right after this on 1430 ESPN. Welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Shout out to Gabe Camarillo for joining us in the last break. Gabe, of course, you can find him at KMPH out there, Fox 26, and talking about all that. Jorge, any part of that soccer conversation that surprised you? Any of those new details he talked about? So sounds very interesting deal that they're working out here.
It's interesting because they don't have a club. They don't have an actual team or someone that's, you know, ready to come
They're
in.
Doing the stadium first, and then if the stadium works out,
like
if the stadium deal works out.
And honestly, I like this. I like this way. Once you build a stadium, it's easier for you to bring in a team than whether it's already here or it's one from another place. That it is having a team here without an actual stadium.
Yeah.
Because one of the biggest problems that they had just when they started growing in the mid-2010s, when they started growing the MLS and on the what is now the USL, mm-hmm. was the teams didn't have their stadiums.
Yeah.
And it was just a visual impairment. Like, playing at Chansey is cool, but the dimensions aren't, you know, that great.
Yeah. I think it's going to be an interesting deal. And, of course, the public has to be behind it. The public is going to have to want it. I think there is a multi-use to the complex that is out there. I think, like I threw out, high school soccer, like, playoff opportunities or high school football opportunities. Any of that sense?
Yeah. I've always said that it would be great, you know, where Island Water Park is. That would be a great place to put a stadium there. But, you know, it's kind of far away from everything else. But they want one downtown, and I think it's a 5,000-seat stadium. It's small enough that it could fit in downtown.
Yeah.
Without making a big, you know, hurting the space around it. So hopefully it works out.
Yeah, hopefully it really does, because I think there's certainly a lot of potential. And it's hard to get this community to trust you or trust people, though. And that's my whole crux of it. It is hard for them to trust in something, knowing what we've known from the Fresno State side of things and knowing that, you know, in the track record of, well, we've had to, if I just blindly think about, and I'm just the layman's person, I'm like, really, we're adding another soccer team, even though we've had two fail? Like, that's the person who is not close to the situation that's going to be thinking about this and being like, why are we wasting more time with this when we know it's failed last two times?
I think, like you said, even without having an actual team, having a soccer stadium or just a stadium, or another venue mm-hmm. to bring in.
You gotta have a concert stuff. There.
Yeah.
Downtown, yeah. At the soccer stadium, right? Like, nothing like crazy, not like Shakira level, but like.
And the reason is soccer stadiums are usually squared.
Yeah.
So you have yourself, you know, more seating, and unlike the Diamond stadiums, which are in the baseball stadiums,
yeah,
they're kind of awkward. So it's those differences make an actual difference to the people that go watch games or events at those stadiums.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Good conversation. If you missed it, you can listen to it on demand as soon as the show wraps up on 1430 ESPNFresno.com with myself and Gabe Camarillo. We also hit on some basketball, and Fresno State plays basketball tonight. They host Colorado State. And let's make this our daily spread segment brought to you by Chichansey Gold Resort Casino. If you're not trying your luck with the teams, if you're not trying your luck with your team, try your luck up the mountain with Chichansey Gold Resort Casino today. And Jorge, the Bulldogs, only a 3.5-point underdog at home to Colorado State. Colorado State sitting at 2-3 in the conference. They're 11-5 overall. The Bulldogs at 1-4. They're 7-9 overall. Colorado State have lost three of their last four. They've lost to New Mexico by 10. They've lost to Nevada by 13. And they've lost to Utah State by a billion. So what makes or breaks this game for the Bulldogs tonight? Gabe mentioned that Zion Collins is hobbled with something in terms of an ankle injury potentially. So we'll see if he is available tonight. But outside of it, the Bulldogs, don't score as much as Colorado State does on average. They rebound a little better than Colorado State does on average. They are able to get active a little more defensively on the steals department for Fresno State. I think there's a real shot that the Bulldogs can win tonight in this game against Colorado State, just kind of looking at the numbers first blush. And the way the Bulldogs have played at home, you could argue, has been something that you could build on as well. So I do feel like Fresno State can win tonight, and I don't know if I can absolutely say they with confidence that I'm predicting them to win, but if it has to happen, it's Jake Heidbreder with some big-time points and moments. It's Wilson Jocks just being absolutely a monster inside, fighting for the rebounds, and it has to be smart basketball on the defensive side, especially in the crunch time situations, because we know, Jorge, this game's going to come down to like the last 3 minutes within a single possession, and that's when the Bulldogs have proven usually that they are not ideally good in those situations. We saw it with the Nevada game. That's the last time this home crowd saw this team. So I would imagine it's going to come down to that, and the Bulldogs need to be smart, incredibly high IQ in those moments, or they're not going to have any hope of winning it tonight against Colorado State.
Yeah, that win against San Jose State helped them out and getting some confidence back and, you know, breaking up that series of defeats that they had. You don't want to start that back up. You don't want to start another series, you know, two losses in a row. So you kind of want to get in there and, you know, make the best out of it, especially when you're playing here at home. So it's difficult, but I think it's going to be a close game.
Hopefully some people are out there too. 6 o'clock, early start. I do like the earlier starts for the folks out there who are watching this. 6 p.m. tonight between Colorado State. I would imagine you're going to be watching while we're doing our game.
Probably.
You'll be giving us updates in our ear. Like we like to give the updates during our game.
If it's in the Mountain West Network, yeah, I'll probably watch it.
But it is on the Mountain West Network.
They're just horrible at keeping up with the scores.
Oh, the score bug is like late.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It's crazy bad.
I used to be that person that had to do that. The Chiron, the score bug, keeping up.
I don't know if it was just San Jose State or when I was watching San Jose State game.
Yeah.
They wouldn't update the score when they would go.
Or there's generally students who are trying their best.
I get that. I understand that. But when it happens once, I'm okay. Like, you know.
Come on, guys.
But when it just doesn't. They didn't update the score when they went to break.
Yeah.
So when you come back from break, they would have the score at halftime.
Yeah.
And I was already like, you know,
it
almost
was completely
the end of
different.
The game.
Yeah.
So it's the kind of things that just bothered me. They shouldn't, but they do.
I know. I get it. Because you're watching with no sound, too, I'd imagine. You're just kind
Yeah, because I got to listen to you guys.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right. Bulldogs tonight. I slightly confident. That's my feeling tonight.
So they look good in the rebound.
Yeah.
They look good, you know, trying to get the ball and
This is a very winnable game for them tonight. They can win this game. Should they win this game? Absolutely. Can they win this game? Sure. Will they? Only they know. Only they know.
Only they know.
All right, let's take a break. Let's wrap up the show next on 1430 ESPN. Welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. You want to know the futility of being a Pittsburgh Steelers fan? I wish Daniel was still here for this, but or you want to
the futility?
Can I just give you some deficits the Steelers had faced in the playoffs since I was in college?
Okay,
2011, 20-6, they were losing to Denver, the Tim Tebow Denver team. How about, I don't even know what year this was. I think this looks like 2014. They were down 30-15 to Baltimore with about 2:57 to go in the fourth. So losing by 15. How about a 14-point loss or losing to Jacksonville in 2017 at home? How about a 33-9 deficit in 2018 to the New England Patriots? How about a 28-0 Cleveland Brown lead in 2020 in the second quarter? How about a 35-7 Kansas City lead over Pittsburgh with about 6:27 to go in the third quarter. How about down 21-0 to Buffalo in 2022, I want to say? How about last year? Down 21-0 to the Ravens in the playoffs as well. And then, of course, 30-3 with about 2:39 to go against Houston last night. it's not there. There has been no moment, no moment for the Steelers to say, "Hey, at least we had that kind of game." It's been, it has been pain, beyond pain, beyond pain. In turn, it hasn't been just losses, Jorge. It has been beatdowns, beatdowns. In the game. Although I don't know if I would qualify for about 40 minutes of that football game last night. It wasn't a beatdown.
It was close. It was close. They still had a chance.
Yeah.
And the fumble came in, and the, I think that just turned around. The fumble when they walked it back. And
as a Patriots fan, I sit here not worried about the Texans.
You say that, but yet I see your face, and you have a worried face.
Stone cold.
I don't know.
Lack of fear, staring right at you in your soul on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch right now.
You keep saying that to yourself, and I know you want to believe that, but I don't think that's true.
No Nico Collins. CJ Stroud fumbled 5 times. Drake May is way more mobile than Aaron Rodgers. The Patriots can run the ball a lot better than what the Steelers were doing last night. We will not be at 3rd and 11 14 times. I'll tell you that. So, no fear. No fear from me. And if we lose, so be it. Because it's been a magical, it's been a magical run. It's been a magical run.
There it is.
But we will not.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's confidence right there.
Confidence. How confident are you in your team?
Oh, I'm a 50-50 kind of guy.
50-50, that's the best you can do? All right. We'll see. Anyways, hey, let's talk about the schedule coming up. By the way, yeah, NFL released the NFL schedule for the weekend. We finally got to know that. But let's talk about our schedule coming up this week. Tonight, 6:15 pre, 6:30 tip-off, Hoover and Justin Garza from Justin Garza. Be sure to tune in there right here on 1430. Lakers and Hawks tonight. The Lakers underdogs at home to the Trae Young-less Atlanta Hawks. Go figure. Tomorrow we'll have Sportsline Bulldog with Tony D 2 to 3. We'll have my show from 3 to 6. Good guests on the list for tomorrow. Dan Rusinowski is going to join us. He's calling in from the East Coast. He's got to talk Sharks here, who've been incredible over the last couple months. We also have Fresno State water polo coming in tomorrow, Jorge. That should be fun. That's around 4:15. Oh, and guess what? The return of Asa. He's crawling out of his hole. He's coming out of his pit of sadness to talk some sports, and I appreciate it for him. So I hope he's doing all right.
I mean, they had a good season.
Yeah, he's not happy. He's not doing all right. Mental hugs to Asa. And then we'll have Sunbird Sports Show on 790 tomorrow at 6 p.m. Thursday, Sportsline Bulldog, Tony D, 2 to 3. My show will only be 3 to 5 at Fashion Furniture because we got some FPU basketball to run over on 790. Lakers and Hornets at 7:15 on Thursday as well. Friday, we'll have Sportsline Bulldog with Tony D again, 2 to 3. We'll have my show 3 to 6 on Friday. Sharks at Red Wings, 3:30 on 790. And then here's your weekend schedule. Palmetto's starting off with the Central Valley Sports Report, 10 a.m. to noon. And then at 1:30, this is the NFL slate on 1430. The playoffs running all throughout. The Broncos hosting the Bills, 1:30 p.m. That game is on CBS, but if you can listen to it on 1430. Then at 5 o'clock to follow, Niners at Seahawks on Fox. Jorge, you excited to get Brady and Burkhart for your game? You excited to get Tommy back again for another game? Back-to-back Tommy Brady?
You guys were pretty excited when
McCaffrey got
the touchdown.
From Jennings? Yeah, he went crazy.
Made some sounds that were kind of weird.
Oh, hey! He got excited, man. That was you. You're probably feeling the same way. Sunday, 11 a.m. pregame with a 12 p.m. kickoff from New England, the Texans and the Patriots. That game is on ESPN and ABC for the TV audience. And then on the NBC network to follow Rams and Bears from very, very cold Chicago.
The Bears.
We'll make predictions on Friday's show. We'll do all NFL talk on Friday there. We'll be back Monday. Another edition of Behind the Bench. Sportsline Bulldog, Tony D23. My show from 3 to 4:30. because, yes, Indiana and Miami, lock it up from South Beach, 4:30 pregame. I believe the kickoff is at 5:30, if I'm not mistaken. Sharks in Florida, the Panthers, that's going to be on 790. That game actually got moved up an hour because they want the Miami crowd to enjoy both games, you know?
Yeah.
So go to a game at 3 and then head on over to the game at 5:30. That's what they want to do. I don't know. We'll see. Sharks, I know, will get on a plane as soon as that game is over, and hopefully it's a win. All right, Jorge, should be a good game tonight. Hoover and Garza, both teams, 6 losses overall in the year. I believe Garza's at 11-6. Hoover's at 9-6. C-Mac action, very excited for that.
C-Mac.
We love the C-Mac, right?
Yep.
Yeah, should be some interesting C-Mac action on that level. Anything else to mention before we sign off? Good to have Sunbird Sports Show back tomorrow.
Yeah. Paul's working on something interesting.
Got some things cooking up.
Yeah, got some things cooking up. So, yeah.
There you go.
Gonna have some basketball later on at PU.
Yeah.
On Thursday, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, be sure to tune in on that, and it should be pretty good. All right, Jorge, good 2-hour show.
Great 2-hour show.
We will we'll be back in an hour and 15 minutes.
You'll hear your voice.
My voice will be back. Not yours.
Not mine.
I'll hear your voice, but not mine. All right, basketball coming up at 6:15. Tune in then. We'll be back tomorrow for another edition of Behind the Bench.